This is CKCU 93.1 FM in the nation's capital.
So I'm here today with Jacqueline Sam. Jacqueline is a news anchor at Radio Peace in Winneba in the central region of Ghana. So welcome, Jacqueline.
Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure to talk to you today. So I'm just wondering if we can start with your connection to radio. How did you get into radio?
All right. Thank you very much. I joined radio through Radio Peace in Winneba, where I work currently. I joined their training session, which they offer the opportunity to young people that are interested in becoming a media personality, and then they teach them. So after the training session, I had the opportunity to join or do my attachment with the radio station. So that is how it all started, how I got involved with radio.
Why were you even interested in radio to begin with?
All right. Growing up, I used to admire people that work in the media. Seeing them read news was actually one of the nice things that growing up I admired so much. And the way they were giving people the opportunity to also talk, like giving voice to the voiceless, educating and then informing the public, was actually what motivated me to also be in that space.
So you now work at Radio Peace in Winneba. So what is Winneba like? Tell me a little bit about where you are.
Okay, Winneba is actually a coastal area and a university community with its indigenous people working as fishermen and then the women as fishmongers. Some are also into farming activities. Yeah.
So it's largely coastal, and you said there's a lot of farming communities. So have there been impacts of climate change, or what are the impacts of climate change where you are?
Okay, some of the impacts that we can talk about is droughts. During the dry season, the people, or we hardly get rainfall, which actually affects some of the farmers, their activity. Other neighboring communities have actually implemented nature-based solution initiative that if there is dry season or there is drought, they get access to water to, go about their daily activities and to help their crops yield more.
So nature-based solutions are, of course, ways of adapting to climate change that take into account things learned from nature. So things like the lessons we learn from nature to help us adapt to climate change, like planting trees or stuff like that, that also benefit communities and nature at the same time. So you've mentioned nature-based solutions a couple of times. So what is it that Radio Peace is doing around nature-based solutions?
Okay, Radio Peace is ensuring that these communities that I mentioned, that they do not have any implementation or any initiative that they are seeing to read that in case there is droughts, they can have other alternatives which will provide water for them. So Radio Peace is basically going to communities around us in the central region, and then we educate the public, or we educate them on the need to implement an initiative of that sort that will help. So we visit these communities, and then after educating them, and we see to it that they have actually done something like that. And I remember a community that we visited by name Gomwa Aquachrom. They actually implemented NBS, that is the nature-based solution, because the explanation they gave us was way back they had difficulties in getting water when it's dry season. So they came together through mobilization, and then they dug a well and a dam where they have water scarcity. Then they have another alternative of, water source where they get the water that they need so that their daily activities, their farm produce will yield more and other stuff. So this is basically what we do. We help to educate, to give voice to the voiceless, and to also visit the marginalized communities.
So I understand that once you go to these communities and you find people that are adapting to climate change, you'll do documentaries on them, right?
Yes, of course. We produce documentaries on them and we air it on the radio.
So can you tell me a little bit about what goes into those documentaries?
We look at these initiative that they have adopted. And then when we come, we put everything together. We have the youth, we involve the youth, we involve the men, the women, and then the children. So we know that we are not only paying attention to only men, because mostly when it comes to issues like that, the women and the children, they will leave it to the men. That the men, I mean, they should do all that they have to do. So when we produce the documentary, we come and we air it. We have segments where we open phone lines, that is phone in, where other callers from the neighboring communities can call and then contribute to the program. And then also when we do that, we encourage other neighboring communities to also try and then adapt such initiatives that will help them in any future occurrences.
Mm-hmm. So what has been the response to these stories that you're running on how to adapt to climate change?
Okay, it's been positive, because whenever we talk to the people or we educate them, they let us know that they are really understanding it. At first, they didn't have any knowledge on NBS, that's nature-based solution. They have no idea about it. But through the documentaries that we are producing, they've also learned, and some are also adopting to it. Some will even call personally to encourage us that what we are doing, they really like it. Because as first, personally, this is what I was doing, which wasn't helping. Now, through the documentary and through the education, I have been able to adapt to a different method that is really helping. So positively, we've been getting, good positive feedback, which also encourages us to continue to do more for them.
Why is it important that Radio Peace does these programs on climate change?
Okay, so Radio Peace is a non-profit organization, and it's a community radio that's focuses much more on community development and then empowerment. Our existence is basically to help the communities. So once we are into helping the community, then it is important to help them get a better life through this documentary, so through this great programs that we've been doing.
Finally, it's World Radio Day today. So what would you say about the power of radio, especially since you're in Ghana and you're talking to us here in Canada?
All right. Thank you. What I would say is that radio is a very powerful tool. And also we have to make sure we abide by the ethics of the work, which is very, very important, knowing that radio can cause harm and good at the same time.
Well, is there anything else you'd want to add about climate change, about radio, about anything like that?
Okay. In relation to climate change, I think the impact of it on our daily activities is something that most of us are ignoring. And it's very important that we keep educating the public on climate change. Our human activities sometimes contribute to the nature of climate that we have. So when everyone is putting up a good attitude, that is the human behavior towards the environment, I believe that we'll have a good climate change, and then its effects on us will be much positive. So basically, that is what I will say concerning climate change. The education on it should be more, and we should keep teaching people about it and talking about it here and there. So as I said earlier on, radio is a powerful tool. We should be much, much careful with whatever information we disseminate to the public. Abiding by the ethics will help us a lot and go a long way. So I do not want to use radio in any way to cause violence or harm. So do I believe that all of us would use radio in a positive way to impact people's life. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for speaking with me today.
All right. Thank you.
Hello, listeners. It's Glenn Ingram here from Smithers Community Radio, CICK, in Smithers, British Columbia. Hey, I wanted to pass on a little song here. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. Back on August 26th, we had a lounge car session in our train car studios in Smithers here with our one of our favorite bands, Scouts Honor Kids Band. And they're going to perform a little track here for you called A Case of the Giggles. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate World Radio Day, especially with the focus of environment and climate change. There's no better reason to focus on this very important purpose, especially considering the next generation taking on all of these issues. Here is Case of the Giggles.
Doesn't sound so sad, actually. Got a case of the giggles, nothing can slow me down. Not only cause it's funny, I'm not because it's in the end, it needs to get out. The sweetest fruit of friendship is laughing until you cry. When you let your guard down and others do too, you can see each other eye to eye. And together sing, na 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 na. I can feel the sunlight coursing through my veins, shine down as a soft light on smiling friends, on smiling friends, on smiling friends. I can feel it. We all need a group around to know, to see, with whom to be one of the gang. And I can see the sunlight coursing through your veins, shine down as a soft light on smile. On smiling friends, on smiling friends, I can feel it.
February 13th is proclaimed by UNESCO as World Radio Day. It celebrates radio broadcasting, and it seeks to improve international cooperation among radio broadcasters, as well as encourage decision makers to create and provide access to information through radio, including community radio stations. Canoe FM is pleased to present another in our series of conversations with people who believe in radio.
World Radio Day is today. I'm Mike Jaycock. I'm pleased to have been asked to produce a series of interviews recognizing World Radio Day. We hope you've enjoyed them. I've been involved with radio since I was 18 years of age. And over the more than six decades, I've been blessed to have been an on-air host, an interviewer locally and overseas, guesting on a French language station, a radio producer, a news reporter, and a writer for radio. Through all the work I've done, I've seen how radio can help define a community through its on-air people, its news and information, and its ability to respond immediately to climatic urgencies and community issues. Consider, if you will, the important role played by radio in Los Angeles as the medium that could best reach those directly affected by the recent firestorms. And far away, radio supports thousands of broadcasters across sub-Saharan Africa, helping millions of people improve their lives and livelihoods. Radio is everywhere. Despite the loss of jobs through major broadcasting groups, radio at the local level continues to be relevant and important in our daily lives. During our long drives or heading to work, radio is still with us. It keeps us singing and keeps us informed. It's like a great friend and neighbor, one who's always there and never lets you down. Except radio will never borrow your chainsaw and forget to return it. I'm delighted to join with Canoe FM to salute all those committed broadcasters and local supporters who strive to stay connected to their communities and serve them in the best way possible. World Radio Day, it's a day to appreciate the power of radio.
Some great words from Mike Jaycock. You are listening to our World Radio Day broadcast, focusing on the environment and the importance of community radio. And I'm joined again by Tara Sprickerhoff from Farm Radio International. You've had a nice hand helping with the show today. Thanks so much.
Yeah, it's been really fun to kind of dig into those long forgotten radio skills that I have latent somewhere.
It's nice to have so many, you know, journalism graduates in one room here. There have been so many. So I thought it'd be interesting to chat with you about your experience with Farm Radio International, because I believe you started with an internship. So maybe tell us where you went.
Yeah, about 10 years ago, I graduated from Carleton's School of Journalism, and I hopped on a plane when I should have been crossing the stage for my graduation and went to Ghana. So I worked with the actual Farm Radio International office there in our office in Accra.
Now, I think you mentioned that you got to really see all parts of Ghana. What was the most eye-opening for you?
I don't know. It was a really neat experience because with the team there, we work with radio stations across that country in several different languages. And I got to, like you said, I traveled through all four corners of the country with our teams. And what was amazing to me was that I could go out for dinner in Accra and have sushi or have whatever I wanted to eat. And then I could be in northern Ghana the next day on a farm that was growing crops and shea trees. And really experience the diversity of experience mm-hmm. that people in Ghana live. And through all of it, you know, there was always a background noise of radio, whether it was in my taxi cab, whether it was in the restaurant I was in, or whether we were on a farmer's field where they just had a radio propped up on the ground.
Okay. And you now work for Farm Radio International. So did you come back from Ghana and say, I'm going to work for this organization?
Not entirely. I moved back home to BC, where I'm from, and worked at a local paper for a couple of years. I worked through a couple of wildfire evacuations, actually. And then I was kind of looking around and seeing what I could do next, and a job at Farm Radio International came open. And really, I love this organization. The way that you see radio impact people's lives is somewhat surprising in some ways, but I've had the pleasure of talking with farmers who said literally to me that, you know, they tried a new way of planting crops on their farm and it doubled or it tripled their yield. And that makes a huge difference in someone who is relying on that field for income. And we talked to people about gender equality. I heard a story from one of our partners last year where we're doing radio programs on
girls' education in schools. And someone told us that he was planning on sending his 13-year-old or 15-year-old daughter off to get married that year and heard a radio program where they had discussed the benefits of girls' education and went, well, I'll hold off and let her finish school. And it's really those sorts of stories that stick with me. And, yeah. and so when this job came open, I kind of jumped at it.
It's interesting, in an urban environment like Ottawa, sometimes people don't really think about how valuable radio can be until the power goes out, right? Mm-hmm. But you think of these rural environments and the rural environments that Farm Radio International is working in Africa, what a lifeline it can be. And I think you probably got a taste of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think about it all the time. In Ghana, for example, I think there's something like 86 different regional languages and dialects that are spoken in that country. So you can imagine that the internet doesn't exist in those languages. But what does exist in those languages are radio broadcasts. And so it's one of the few ways that people really can access information that they need on a day-to-day basis.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. So do you have any other plans to go back to Africa to do more work there?
I'll keep my fingers crossed. Yeah. It's always a pleasure when I get to get on that plane and go visit a community.
Amazing. Well, I'm super happy that Farm Radio International was involved today. And, you know, all of your help today, the great interviews, it's been really fantastic. So thank you so much.
And it's really been a pleasure to see all of the work that CKCU can do. You've really put the magic of radio together in a snowstorm in Ottawa, so it's been a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's too bad. We wanted to have the live event over at the atrium where they have this beautiful living wall, you know, plant life and stuff. But hey, you know, we're at the mercy of Mother Nature. That's always the case, right? So
next year
that'll be the plan. So I know we have people calling in right now. We're trying to figure out where we're going to go to next. It's the magic of live radio. I know we were looking to speak with Alex Friedman from CRFC. And yeah, we're waiting to see. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I hope people have enjoyed the programming and hearing from the different voices that we've had on today. I'm pretty passionate about the environment. I'm an admitted Green Party voter. And unless I have to vote strategically, this is where my heart lies. So we were very close to having Elizabeth May on the program today. That would have been a lot of fun to have that chat. But yeah, Dave, did you?
We're just gonna break here.
We're gonna go to break. All right.
This is a Black History Month moment.
We knew we were outsiders. We knew we were outside the pale. Lived in the village. We were outsiders. We were dykes. Right. A lot of us were artists. We hated typing. Right. We didn't want straight jobs. Whatever we did, we were at the fringe. Now, this, of course, was the 50s. It was like the gay girls' version of the beatnik. You have to remember that the lesbian gay girls, because that's what we were called, the gay girl population, was a reflection of what else was going on, right, around us. And that was the era of let's pretend this is the best of all possible worlds. This is exactly what we choose, right? And this is it. So, like, nobody talked about racism. You need to begin with a movement, which is what Black Power and the Civil Rights Movement was. Then, immediately within it, you are going to get those people whose differences are not being articulated, which is, right, us. So then there is immediately another step.
Audre Lorde, American author, self-described Black lesbian mother, warrior, and poet.
This has been a Black History Month moment.
Volunteer-driven, listener-supported, your community radio, CKCU 93.1 FM.
All right. So happy World Radio Day, everyone. Thanks to everyone who's been making it happen. Nathaniel doing a great job on the YouTube there. And Ryan, of course, is host and so many great guests. And hopefully on the phone, we have Alex Friedman from the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Are you there, Alex?
Hopefully, I'm here. Hopefully.
Oh, you are? Okay. Somebody called in right at the same time that we thought we were connecting you. And I think that's what messed up the... So we switched to the other line and it worked out. Unfortunately, you can't be here at the station because of the nasty weather, but hopefully you're warm and cozy wherever you are.
I hate to tell you that I'm sitting in front of a fireplace with my dog on my head.
Well, that's
always good.
That's the place to be. So, well, thanks you for joining us. The last stretch of the World Radio Day program that we have going here. What can you tell us about what you do and the importance of community radio ongoing?
Wow. Okay, there's a big question. So why don't we start with the second part, right? Community radio is a very unique thing. And when I'm talking about community radio, I'm talking about community, talking about campus, and I'm also including Indigenous radio. Three different ways we license radio in Canada, all basically the same model, not-for-profits, community connection, licensing, how much you spoken word and Canadian content requirements, et cetera. So there's as many as 240 and likely far more than that across the country. And they're, for the most part, either in communities where there really is no other local media or there may be a local newspaper, but they're generally not going to have any commercial entities because the commercial entities have long since tried to stop trying to make money in those markets.
Yes.
And so they're left alone. The other area where we see community radio, and CKCU is a great example of that, is in urban areas where what you do and what these stations do is very different from what the commercial stations are doing in those particular markets. And so in every case, community radio station serves an underserved population in Canada. Yes. Amongst the various different stations that we have, there is programming in more than 65 different languages.
Amazing, right?
Right. It's the first place emerging artists ever get played. And even folks like Katie Lang have looked back on their career and said, yeah, if it wasn't for community radio, I wouldn't
Absolutely.
Have a career.
Mm-hmm.
So community radio does that, but community radio also connects that community. So if you are, for example, CJLO in Montreal, on the weekends, they are in a very Caribbean community. Well, they broadcast the news through a Caribbean lens. And so the people of that community are able to digest national, international, and again, local community news, and they get it from a person who speaks their way, a person who understands their lived experience. And so community radio is at the core of all of this, the last really source of local news and information on a regular basis, the last of the locally responsive broadcasters, right? Because when we leave our stations, no matter what community you're in, you walk and you meet and you shake hands with and you're at the grocery store with and you're sharing a pint with your listener. So you're accountable to them very directly. And which is why when y'all put on, something on your social media networks or on the web, but we can see your call letters.
Mm-hmm.
That
but no actual links to our content.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so we can trust that you are a known entity and you're responsible to us, your community.
Yes.
And that's a really incredibly unique and privileged place. And I guess the last point I'll make in terms of community radio is it's also a place where up-and-coming broadcasters get access to the microphone.
That's right.
And in Indigenous communities, this is increasingly important because so many Indigenous people who live in Canada have been taught for so long that they don't have a voice in this country.
Yes.
And where we can give people that voice, where we can give people the ability to speak out.
It's such valuable work, isn't it? For sure. Leo, unfortunately, we don't have much time, Alex, but I really appreciate you joining us for this last part of the broadcast. It was kind of impromptu, but
okay,
I really appreciate you having being here with us for a bit, because I'll thank you, of course, and Ryan, who is will join us here.
Can I get one last thought in before you
Oh, absolutely, sure. Real quick.
If people could go to mycri.ca.
Yes.
mycri.ca.
People would know your voice from that, actually. We were running those PSAs.
If anybody could generate a letter and send it in, right now we have an opportunity with parties vying for control of the country. Mm. We need core funding for community radio stations.
Absolutely.
You can very easily send a letter to your MP through that website and get all the information about the project. And anybody listening, we need you to stand up and say, community radio is important to me.
Thank you so much for reminding us of that, Alex. That's
we have been listening to a simulcast from CKCU out of Carleton University in Ottawa, Ontario, CKCU 93.1 FM. That website for the Community Radio Initiative is mycri.ca, mycri.ca. And we would encourage you to use that information there to support community radio and to celebrate World Radio Day, as we will be doing here on CJSF 90.1 FM. Democracy Now! Is next.